Easter Day.
It's not long ago that BBC conducted an online survey to find out how many people in the UK believed the Easter story. Some 2,000 people took part in that survey, and according to that survey, 26% of the people interviewed did believe in the physical death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, among those who confessed to be Christians, only 46% believed in the physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, what do you think, or what do you make of it? Some of you perhaps already have seen it, that on the YouTube, there is some 3+ minutes, a small video clip actually loaded by an American author named Lee Strobel. He actually produced it last year before the Easter, because Easter was on the 1st of April. And I believe you know what April, 1st of the April people take it. In that video, and I quote him, that Mr. Strobel said, "Easter Sunday this year is 1st April, also known as April Fool's Day. If that had happened when I was an atheist and legal editor to the Chicago Tribune, I would have laughed at the coincidence, because I was convinced that anyone who believed Jesus rose from the dead had to be a fool. Easter Sunday 2018 is not an April Fool's Day," he said. An April Fool's Day's joke. It is a solid foundation of historical truth." Obviously, he was atheist, but then he spent some 2 years searching and researching and came to this truth that it is not April Fool's Day joke. It is a solid foundation of historical truth. But back to the survey I mentioned in the very beginning. My gut feeling is, and I did notice few faces, that there are certain reactions, that some of people among the churches be worried, perhaps even quietly condemning, that those who call themselves Christians, they don't even believe in the tenet of the Christian faith, the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. But as for me, you know that to start with, 26% in the whole population, praise the Lord, there are more people than in the churches who believe in the death and resurrection of the Jesus Christ. But my reaction towards the brothers and sisters who struggle to believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, my reaction is, folks, you have joined a good company. Why do I say so? Well, the answer is actually found in the gospel passage we read today. And if you have got the Bibles open, please have a look. In verse 8, we read, "Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in and saw," and pay attention, "and believed. But you go on, and verse 9 reads, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." In verse 8 it says, they believed. And verse 9 says, they still did not understand that he must rise from the dead. My own understanding of these two verses is that when they saw the empty tomb, they believed what Mary had told them, that Jesus' body is not anymore there. But in spite of Jesus having told them again and again that he was to rise from the dead, they were still struggling. They were still wondering that how it can be possible. Yes, they had seen him raise the dead from raise the dead people. They had seen Lazarus come out of the grave. But hang on. It is Jesus who did it. But if the dead raiser himself is dead in the tomb, how come that he can come back to the life? So they had this question. And if there are brothers and sisters out there, that if they had that sort of difficulties, as far as I am, it's okay. In due time, the Lord may reveal to them the truth too. But what about myself? Do I really, 100% understand the mystery of the resurrection? Do I 100% understand the mystery of Jesus Christ rising from the dead? My answer, honest answer, is no, I don't 100% understand. Yes, I wholeheartedly believe what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, which reads, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being, who is, of course, Christ Jesus, our Lord." I believe wholeheartedly it. There is no whatsoever doubt in that sense. But do I fully understand its mysteries? I would say I don't. Well, just to add a little bit more to it, that like the American author, 2 years ago at Easter Sunday 2017, I gave my case, my reasons to believe in the story of the resurrection. My sermon is still on our website, and if you would like to listen, you are most welcome to listen. There it is presented, historical as well as biblical evidence that Christ Jesus indeed rose again from the dead. But let me say it again, do I understand 100% this mystery, that how? No, I don't. So my brothers and sisters, today, wherever you are in your faith journey, whatever you believe, the way you understand the resurrection, set aside for a moment, but come with me to this gospel passage we read today. Because I believe that there is a message, if not for all of us, at least for some people in that. And there are 3 points which I want to raise from this passage of gospel, in John's gospel we read. You know that if you look the other 3 gospels, they talk that women, they came to the tomb. But John singles out Mary Magdalene. And I pondered over it, that why the Holy Spirit led him to just mention only Mary's name. I believe that you have heard it many times, that what an astonishing thing that in a culture where that some even religious sects would say this prayer, "God, I thank you, I'm not a Gentile. I thank you, I'm not a slave. I thank you, I'm not a woman." God making women his witnesses of great truth. But I look at slightly different, because I grew up in a culture where women and others like me, they were marginalized. Their testimony in the court of law was half to the mainstream Muslim men. My testimony was half. Woman's testimony was half. But here it is, two men on the grave and one woman. God saying, my economy works very differently. You know that I want to say to you, I do not know your situation today, but if you have ever felt yourself on the margins, if you have ever been led to believe that you are less than the others, please, in the light of this passage today, when you go back home and stand before the mirror and see yourself as God sees you through the eyes of Christ Jesus, my Lord, you are no less than anyone else, because God loves you. Through Christ, He has made you His child. The second point I want to raise is the timing of Mary arriving at the tomb. In the Eastern culture, it is very much a habit to get up early. Nearly 40 years ago, when I came to the West, I was astonished that people remained awake so long and they woke up quite late, whereas it was totally opposite back in the East. We went to the bed early and we woke up very early, still the dark. So it doesn't surprise me that Mary was on the tomb when it was still dark. But I wonder that if that darkness is something talking or speaking about her inner darkness too. You know that before Mary met Jesus, this particular Mary's life was controlled by different kind of demons. Jesus set her free from it all. And I wonder that as she went to the tomb, I just wonder if she was not only a woman who was grieving, but a woman who was gripped with fear. I wonder that if there was this inner darkness, that my Jesus who set me free, is dead, and what if these demons, they returned back? Who will now stop these demons? She goes into the garden, and to add to her sadness, what she sees, the tomb is broken in. Tomb is raided. Little, of course, did she know at that moment that what has happened. It is obviously Jesus who opened her eyes, and she saw that the tomb was not raided by the thieves, but the tomb was raided by life itself. And once she met the risen Christ, what happened? All her darkness was raided too, and she could shout out, Rabboni, my Lord. And my friend, yours may be one of the best condition this morning, but just if there is any that kind of darkness of sorrow, emptiness or fearfulness, let us learn from Mary. You too can exchange that darkness with the joy and hopefulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third point I want to raise is from the race that these two disciples undertook, Peter and John. It is obviously known, thought very carefully, that the beloved disciple was younger. Naturally, he outran Peter, and he arrived first there, and then the poor old Peter arrived too. But I want to see something else in this one. When the first disciples reached, he saw the linen wrappings in which Jesus' body was wrapped. He did see only one item. But when Peter arrived, he saw, in fact, two items, because the Jewish burial rite was this, that the whole body was tightly wrapped in a shroud. And I can actually speak this from experience, because in my country of origin, the same custom applies to this very day to the majority religion that people. The body carefully rewrapped, then a separate cloth, a napkin, is put on the head and tied from down here, chin, so the mouth can remain closed. So there was the linen wrappings, and there was this separate cloth as well, which covered the face of Jesus. What did Peter see? He saw first the linen wrappings in which Jesus' body was wrapped, but he also saw this napkin which was on the face of Jesus removed away. And I wonder if God was speaking something in that. At Good Friday, when Jesus died, we know that the curtain was torn in two. That which was forbidden was visible to all. All may enter. If you look the Old Testament, there you read time and again that it is the failures, it is the sin of mankind that God hides his face away. And I wonder when Peter went there, with what sort of guilt and shame he went. After all, he had denied the Master in public. But that napkin saying to him, "Peter, I do not hide my face anymore, because I have taken your guilt, your shame to the cross. I have nailed it. My face is unveiled. You are always accepted. You just need to come and you will know you are my child." One of the things as a parish priest I often encounter, and please don't take it the wrong way, that people who occasionally come to the church, and if I met them in the streets, that they say, "Oh, I know I should be more often in the church." I don't know that what sort of mind or heart you have today, but you know, in Christ, even when you are walking the streets, the veil of God is removed. He loves you, because he has taken all guilt, all shame away, not only from Peter, not only from Napo John, but from each one of you. Let him see now your face, because he wants to see your face. His face is open for you to meet him. You come to him as you are. For Christ has carried away all the shame, all the guilt to the cross. Amen.